Amen. Luke chapter 5, very familiar passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 5. Those of you that everything's cool, spiritual, you got everything together like Brother Chris, Brother Ronnie said Brother Chris did. Anyway, you may just be fishing tonight and not dry. Because that's where we're going. We're going fishing. But the nets are empty. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. The fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. These guys was busy. There's times that we can get dried up when we get too busy. And when we get too busy and things get too dry, we vacate the ship. Hear me. Just find it in the Scriptures. They left the ship. And he entered into one of the ships, speaking about Jesus, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out. There's times when you may not feel like it, and I'm telling you, Simon Peter did not feel like going anywhere. He did not feel like, he had just got his nets washed, he had hung them up to dry, and he didn't feel like getting them out again. He had already been there. Jesus told him, said, launch out. Not only to launch out, but you need to let down your nets because things are fixing to happen. It's amazing to me, and I've experienced myself, and I know you've experienced, that just about the time we're start ready to give up, it's when God's fixing to give a breakthrough. Simon Peter answered and said unto him, Master, we have worked our guts out all night long. We have absolutely not even caught as much as a minnow. But nevertheless, that simply means however, whatever, at your word. Can I tell you, you can take him at his word. I told you last week, it doesn't matter how you feel, but it's what you know. Exactly the words of Peter, he said, but according to your word. Nevertheless, at your word, we will let down the net. And when they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned their partners, which was in the other ship, that they should come and help them. I want to encourage you today that in the dry times of your life, do not hesitate to ask for help. We need each other. We need each other's help. And their helpers come over and they ask for them, and they fill both of their ships in so much that they begin to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What he was doing was worshiping the Lord for the blessings. Let us not forget. Let us not forget to worship him from whom all blessings flow. The Bible says that he was astonished, not Jesus. Nothing catches him by surprise but Peter. And all that were with him at the draught of fishes which were taken. They were astonished, they were amazed, and they was impressed. I can tell you, when God puts his hand on something, you will be amazed and impressed. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Every individual, from time to time, will experience dry times in their life. Even us pastors do as well. There's times when the Bible seems to be as inspiring as last year's phone book. Just being real with you, okay? There's times that you read and it seems like there's nothing happening, there's nothing flowing. And there's times that the Bible can seem as boring as last year's phone book. But Can I tell you again, it's not what you feel, it's what you know. Keep reading. Times when your prayers seem like they're as empty as last year's Cracker Jack box and there ain't no prize left in it. Periodically, I've had those dry times, and it hadn't been that long ago that I had one of those dry times, and it seems like that my prayers couldn't reach the ceiling, let alone heaven. Sometimes we experience things and we get so dry we could spit sawdust. But we got to keep plugging. In those dry times, I could listen to people talk about the moving of the blessings of God and how they were receiving the Word of God and how they were growing and how they were being blessed. And God was speaking to their heart and they was experiencing a mighty move of God's blessing in their life. How many's ever experienced that in the driest times of your life? You feel like last year's corn shucks and people are getting blessed and you're just miserable. Just the pastor and his wife. I would try to be as intense as they were about the power of God in my life. But faking it made me feel even more guilty. And I could not help but wonder, what in this world have I done wrong? Anybody ever ask yourself that question? What in the world have I done wrong? The hardest part, church, of the dry spells that we go through is when we don't have a clue why we're going through what we're going through. We don't have a clue of why we're feeling the way we're feeling. There's no sin that has entangled us. There's no anger. There's no bitterness. Nothing in our lives that we can put our finger on. But nevertheless, we're experiencing those dry times. I was reading and praying and had a great fellowship with God's people. Yet my spirit felt as dry as the Mojave Desert in November. And by the way, that's part of Death Valley, and November is its driest time. The Mojave Desert has recorded a world's record temperature of surface temperature of 134 degrees. And we gripe at 99. And I can tell you there's a whole lot of difference between 99 and 134. But spiritually speaking, sometimes we feel like it's 134 on the surface. Can I get a amen or something? Or something, just something. Maybe somebody is here today that can identify, and this message is for you to let you know that there is a way to survive in those dry times. You feel like for whatever reason and you can't put your finger on it, you've lost your smile, you've lost your joy, you've become weary, your countenance is telling yourself and everyone around you that something just ain't quite right. You're exhausted, you're worn out, you're weary. Dry times have set in. As hard as it may seem to believe, you're not alone. We can find familiar and similar instances all through the Bible as well. The story that I've set as a backdrop of this message today, what really seems odd about this message of dry times that happens in the middle of the lake. Let that sink in just a moment. I had to read that several times, Brother Rodney, to grasp that, to realize that in their toughest times that they was going through, that they had toiled. It wasn't just a couple of hours fishing trip, but they had toiled all night long. They had struggled to catch anything and had caught nothing. This was their livelihood. It wasn't just a matter of having crappie that night for supper. This was their livelihood. And they had toiled all night and caught not one thing. And yet they was in the middle of the lake, where the ability was prime. They couldn't go to the streets of Jerusalem and throw out a fishing rod. They was right in the middle of the most valuable place they could be for fishing. And yet they come up dry. Think about that for just a moment. There's times in our life to where we are in the most greatest place to receive the greatest blessings, and for whatever reason, we feel so dry. we feel so empty. But I just come by to tell you again tonight, it's not what you feel, it's what you know. Because the grace of God is bigger than any circumstance, bigger than any situation that comes your way. As we break it down just a little bit one more time, in that Luke chapter 5, in that first verse, it said they come to hear the word of God. In those dry times, we have to learn to listen. We have to learn to listen. It's sometimes difficult, but we've got to learn when to shut our mouth and just listen. And the people come to hear the word of God. So I encourage you, in the middle of your most prestigious time, to get what you need when it seems so dry, just stop and listen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord, those that listen. They saw two ships standing. Jesus saw two ships standing in the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them. They vacated them. They bailed in the midst of the opportunity. Is anybody getting this? Maybe this is just for me. But in the midst of their opportunity, they bailed. As I mentioned a while ago, just about the time God's getting ready to pour out His blessing, if we're not real careful, we bail. We feel like we've gone as far as we can go. I can use this illustration. I absolutely love to fish, and I know a few other guys like to fish in here as well. But I can stand there all day long, and if I don't catch a thing, my thoughts are that next cast, I'm going to get the big one. My wife can throw twice and not get a bite, and she's ready to go back home. Sometimes we miss our greatest blessing, or can I say our greatest cast, because we fail to wait and be persistent on throwing one more time. God is speaking to our hearts. Let me reiterate, in the midst of their greatest opportunity, they bailed. So I'm just telling you tonight that in the midst of your opportunity, and God's given you all kinds of opportunity, and things may be dry and you may not be catching nothing, but please do not bail. Stop and listen. Stop and listen. Verse number 3, it says, "And Jesus entered into the ship." What I want to bring out of that is to tell you that in the midst of your dry times, please let Jesus in. Don't keep Him out. In my experience, that so many times when people in church experience dry times, the first thing they want to do, or the last thing they want to do, is come to church, and the first thing they want to do is stay home. That's not allowing Jesus in. It's in those times of our life that we need Him the most. It's in those times of our life that He is most closest to us. So as Jesus entered into the ship, please don't vacate the ship while Jesus is wanting in. And He taught the people. It's in those dry times that we can learn the most, because our spirit man is realizing it needs to glean to the things of God. So just let me tell you, let Jesus in. And as He taught the people, they learn from Him. And so I just want to encourage you to learn what Jesus is saying to you in those dry times that will take you through those unpleasant times of your spiritual life. We've often heard that life is not a bed of roses. Not a bed of roses. But I'm here to tell you that He will keep you. He will sustain you. And He'll make a way where there seemeth to be no way. And when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets, because you're fixing to catch a massive bunch of fishes." So I just tell you tonight, in the midst of your dry times, take a chance. Don't just sit there, but do something. Listen to what God's saying. Be active. be active in what's happening and what's going on, yet we stand upon the Word of God to stand. When you've done all you can do, stand doesn't mean just not do nothing. There's times you got to do something in the midst of your standing. You got to believe. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night. What we would say in today's modern times, I have done nothing but spin my wheels and ain't nothing to happen. I have taken nothing, Peter said. Nevertheless, it's your word. I'm believing. I'm believing what you said, Lord, and I'm going to obey what you said because I know in the midst of my dry time, you're gonna send me an oasis. You're going to send me a rain. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their nets broke because they had caught so many. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and both ships were filled, and they began to sink. Can I tell you that again, what I said earlier, we need a little help. We need each other. Don't just bail on your responsibility or bail because you don't feel like it, but reach out to someone and ask someone for a little bit of help. When Simon saw this, he fell down and he worshiped Jesus with everything that was within him, and he gave God praise, for he was astonished. He was amazed at the amazing God. I don't know. I hadn't heard anybody else phrase this, so I'm going to claim me phrasing this. I'm always amazed at an amazing God. He's amazing. Everybody said, well, I said that day before yesterday. Praise the Lord. That's two of us. I'm amazed at an amazing God. They was astonished. Can I tell you, listen to me. This is what God wants to do for you in your dry time. He could have put 10 or 12 fish in their nets and it would have been sufficed for them. But he was not willing to just be sufficed for them, but he gave them more than enough. That's what God wants to do for you. He wants to meet and supply your need that is more than enough. Can I tell you that heaven is more than enough? Can I tell you that Jesus Christ is more than enough? All through the Scriptures, God didn't just barely meet the need, but it was more than enough. The little woman that had run out of everything and her husband had died, and the prophet told her, said, borrow all the vessels you can and begin to pour. It wasn't just enough, but it was more than enough. Can I tell you that our God is a God of more than enough? More than enough. This story that I'm telling you about tonight is more than just a story, but it's a story of dry times, and these guys were tired and they were dry even though they was soaking wet. Have you ever felt like throwing in the towel and there was no need for trying anymore? You were weary of praying prayers that never seemed to get an answer. The word in the Bible might as well have been written in some other language because it didn't make any sense to you right now whatsoever. Your spouse is not responding to your prayer. Your kids are not responding to your prayer. They ain't interested in church or God or anything else, and you just seem dry. Can I tell you that Simon Peter was weary too? Can I tell you that pastors get weary too? And we need your prayer and your strength. We need each other's prayers and strength. He was simply tired of trying. His back was aching. His eyes could barely stay open from fishing all night. And in the midst thereof, of hearing the Master preach to the multitude, remembering the miracles that he had seen taking place right before his eyes, he had seen these miracles take place. Peter still lacked the faith and the confidence in the words of Jesus. He still needed some reassurance. He had worked all night and didn't again have as much as a minnow to show for. Maybe you understand what Peter was feeling like at this time. Simply no results for his labor was being seen. No results for his labor was being seen. Yet, church, to survive these dry times and these droughts, we must reach way down inside of us and get a hold of what little energy we have left and listen to the words of Jesus and say, I'm going to do it one more time. I'm going to cast out one more time. Just one more time. As we search ourselves and know that God is God and that He is faithful. And that just one more time, just one more time. I felt at numerous times my nets were empty. And the decisions I had prayed about and wrestled with were still taunting me and no answers had come. But I just want to assure you that God is faithful and His delays are not His denials. I don't feel like I was any closer to a solution a year later than I was the year before. I know what it's like to walk in those dry times and feel weary and worn out. And even wonder if it's time, at times, if God had misplaced my file somewhere on His desk and I was totally oblivious to Him. Anybody ever felt like that? But it's not what we feel. Again, it's what we know. It's not what we feel. It's what we know. I can tell you that it's not the case. He hasn't put your file away. He hasn't put it in file 13. He hasn't forgot about you. You are very much on His mind. I said you are very much on His mind. Even in those dry times. Can I tell you, in the midst of the driest part and times of your life, can I let you know that God has been engaged? He has been actively engaged in your life from the very moment of your conception. He has not forgotten you, has not put you off to the side anywhere, but every moment of the day, He has you on His mind. Every step that you take, every word that you say, everything that you do, He has a plan for your life. Not only that, He has a good plan for your life. According to Jeremiah 29:11, do you believe the word of God? God has been working behind the scene of your life, changing hearts, reshaping minds. Don't you know that while He was teaching the people from the ships, from those boats or from that particular boat, don't you know in the back of His mind He knew exactly what the disciples and the fishermen were thinking and what they were doing? He knew they was tired. He knew they was weary. He knew they was dry. He knew they was about to give up. They was in every aspect they had thrown in the towel, but He would give them, just do it one more time. Just do it one more time. So I'm encouraging you and telling you, just one more time. Just one more time. I want to emphasize this here, and then I'll be closing here in the next 5 minutes or so. How long have I been preaching? 10, 15 minutes? Five? Thank you. Listen to me. In the midst of your dry times, God's been working behind the scene to change your life, to change your heart, to reshape your mind, pushing souls, and even prodding unwilling spirits. I don't know if you've gotten a hold of that yet, but there's times that our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And there's some times that we get so dry, our spirit's not even willing anymore. But in God's mercy and grace, He's pushing that unwilling spirit. Saying, son, you can make it. Just stop and listen. We oftentimes are too concentrated and focusing upon the negative to hear any positive. But I just want to change your way of thinking. Look to the positive because it's all around about you. While you're miserable in your dry times, God's doing everything He can to push things your way and push you to a place that He desires for you to be. To make a turnaround in your life. I mean, He's ready for a turnaround in your life. Can I tell you, it's in the making? It's in the making. God is working behind the scenes, changing hearts, reshaping minds, pushing souls, prodding unwilling spirits. He has been laboring specifically and intentionally with one goal in mind, and that's to bring you to the forefront of His plan that He has for you. not only for you specifically, but also for your families and the lives of those around about you, for your family and for the lives of those around about you. God is specifically working on your situation, and He can work on every one of us all at the same time. I just want to come by tonight and encourage you, to let you know that even in dry times, God has heard your petition. Your heavy hearts and your worn out spirit and soul is no secret to your Heavenly Father. Psalms 38 and 9, David wrote these words, "Lord, all my desire is before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee." As I told you last week, there is no progress without the process. There is no progress without the process. As we look at those circumstances in our life when things are so dry, let's go to the 23rd Psalms where David was reiterating and where he was talking about the great shepherd of his soul. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Doesn't matter the circumstances of your life, or how dry it may be, or where you're going, He's still the shepherd of our soul, and He will make you to lie down in green pastures. He'll lead you beside the still waters. Why? Because He's not going to leave you to dehydrate and die in the desert. Just one more time. You need to go home and read the 23rd Psalms once again for yourself and break it down that in those dry times, this is exactly where He has you at and what He's doing for you. He's asking you today just one more time, to let down your net. Even though you haven't seen any amazing results in the last few months, and even though your emotions are shattered and you're saying, what is the use? You might even be thinking that an uphill marathon would make more sense and have more advantages than this. But God's saying to you, nevertheless, just do what I tell you one more time. Obey the word. Let down your net. God's got something special and great for you. In the midst of your dry times, in the midst of your desert, you're right exactly where God wants you to be, to where He can pour you out a blessing that is beyond your imagination. So I encourage you tonight to keep reading God's word. Keep on your knees, return into your prayer closet, confess your sin of unbelief. Let God know that you are willing to listen to what He has to say, knowing that Jesus Christ will back you up, and He will bring in the flood of fish when you least expect it. He'll pour you out a blessing that you're not able to contain. Did you hear me, church? He'll pour you out a blessing. Maybe you don't even like fish. Whatever it is you lack, whatever you have need of, He'll pour you out a blessing. So I encourage you to get close to God. Find a friend and become accountable to them, and do something special for your husband, your wife, your kids. Do something kind for someone in need. Lift your hands and your voice unto God and thank Him for the mercy and grace that He has shown you, because God is faithful. God's faithful. He is God and He is on His throne. Sooner or later, He's going to surprise you, just like He did Simon Peter. They was too tired to be surprised, but He surprised them anyway. You may feel like you're too dry and too tired to be surprised, but God's going to surprise you anyway. Don't give up. Keep in the back of your mind one more time. Experience what God's getting ready to do for you, because you ain't going to give up. The rain is coming. A spiritual monsoon is on your way. You're going to experience the joy of Jesus Christ, perhaps even more than you can handle or ever, ever thought would take place, because He's more than enough. He's more than enough. Be faithful. Trust Him. Wait upon Him. Glory, glory. Jesus can and will fill your nets. Would you stand with me all over the building? Closing with this, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Almighty God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings, your mercy and grace. I pray that you'll go with us, keep us safe, keep us underneath the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be a witness to someone this week and help them to find you as their Lord and Savior of their life. God bless your people. Again, we thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So if you would, just as quickly as you possibly